This is the Best Of Daily Devotion series by Pastor Tim Dodson from Believers Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. For more information on Tim Dodson or Believers Church, visit believerstogether.com.
The last time we were together, we had just begun to talk about this thing called sanctification. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." The will of God is our sanctification. Sanctification essentially means holiness, but it is a holiness that does not come quickly and it does not come easily. Now, indeed, there is a positional sanctification. That is a standing that we have in heaven, and it is brought to us solely by the work of Christ, His work upon the cross, and indeed our acceptance of that work. But it is done and finished and secure in heaven the moment of your rebirth. And all that's so wonderful. But there's another thing that we have to add here, and that is a sanctification known of as practical sanctification. Now, practical sanctification is a rather fluid thing. It is a living and moving thing that we are called to grow in throughout our life, and that is no matter what age you might be today. A lot of older folks, they think that because they have the years, that they also have the completion, the finished product, if you will, of complete sanctification. And I'm here today to tell you that that is simply not true. If you're breathing, then you're not done. In truth, a lot of older folks are actually the worst offenders in this area because they feel somehow that they have arrived, and so they just let everything slide. They haven't arrived. And even if there is a matter in which we do not know yet the will of God, well, Paul is saying our sexual practices, well, they're not one of them. We don't get to write the book on this issue because, gang, God already did. Now, truth be told, fewer issues will cause us so much pain, so much disobedience, so much falling away than this issue of sexual immorality. Look, it comes with many faces. I mean, it might be pornography or some sort of lurid behavior. It might just be sex with your boyfriend or girlfriend because, you know, you're in love. Now, I'm not trying to mock you here. I don't pretend that this is an easy thing. It certainly can't be just switched off like a light switch. But, you know, because we feel something doesn't mean that it's right to participate in it. And I know that's a popular notion today in the world at large and even within the greater church. But in doing so, we are often rewriting the Bible in light of modern teaching. Sometimes we want to deny that we have desires in the flesh, or on the flip side, we pretend we have a free pass because we have some perceived license or right, you know, because we're going to get married or we really love each other or et cetera, et cetera. Look, all of it's just simply lies. When we involve ourselves in sexual immorality, premarital sex, we break communion with God. And then strangely enough, we wonder why it's so quiet and why we feel alone. We want God to help us, but man, it is quiet. Well, no mystery there. Because if we're in that situation, we have effectively moved away from Him, and the way back is repentance and obedience. He'll be there, I promise you. When you go back to that place where you began, where you fell, He'll forgive and He will restore. Now, will there be pain? Yes, quite likely. You know why? Because sin always leads to pain, gang. Our natural reaction to this practice, to this sin, is to hide. And hiding, that's a clear sign that you're in the wrong. Because sin wants darkness and sin wants privacy. So we run and we hide. Man, if you only knew how many people are no longer in this church because of that one sin alone. We must not forget that with Christianity comes a responsibility whether we want it or not. Now, this argument is well understood in the secular realm with issues in the world and this life, but somehow that gets lost when we deal with the spiritual realm. With Christ, we often think we're owed something. We're owed something without effort or without cost on our side. as if eternal life and forgiveness of our sin and right standing before God as a free gift, and that's not enough, right? Look, we often treat the church with this illogical thinking. Supposing we are somehow able to freely receive without participation on our part. You know, we start using words like grace, grace, grace. Let me ask you, do you eat free at McDonald's? Do you keep your job if you don't show up or you fail to do the work? Do you have a good marriage when you're a slacker and you give no effort? Does your car run if you don't put any gas in it? Or maybe you think a gallon of gas should be enough to drive to Minneapolis and back. Now, you can get angry and you can think that you have given enough, but it doesn't change anything. Why then do we think church and God is different? We're not owed anything, gang. Well, except maybe death and hell.
That was A Daily Devotion by Pastor Tim Dotson of Believers Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. For more information on Tim Dotson or Believers Church, visit believerstogether.com.